Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Update for Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. You can call in and give us your 2 cents at 914-338-1239, or you can join us in our chat room. Follow us daily at our blog at divaupdatedforlives.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook as Diva Days, and we also have a new page, which is Diva Updated for Lives, the fan page. And we're on Twitter at Diva Abdul. So, and if, you know, you're too lazy to search for all that, it's, everything's linked on our profile page. But I'm too lazy, so right here on Blog Talk Radio, and you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio and friend us, and you can also follow us on the blogs, that way you don't miss any blog entries. And we have a full boat here tonight. We have Anna.
Hello.
We have SJ. We got Wiki Days.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Madeline.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, and before we forget, at Bob Hapka, he's at 199 followers.
Yes.
I saw Anna. Yes, Anna wanted to help get him over the hump, get him over 200.
Yes. What was that again? Was that at Bob Hapka? Is that like?
Yes, at.
Is that what it was? Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Yes. In case anybody doesn't know, Bob is Mark Hapka's father. Mark played Nathan Horton on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
So, yep.
But he's a lot of fun to follow, as is Amy Hapka, so definitely follow them.
Yeah, if you like to watch somebody harass celebrities on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a good person to follow.
Yeah, he got Kim Kardashian one time, didn't he?
Yeah, he's aimed her pretty good. And and we interviewed Lauren Coswell yesterday again.
Yay!
So you guys don't know yet, look on our show page and you'll see the interview with Lauren. It's about 13 minutes long. That's they actually gave me a couple extra minutes on from Days. And the thing with Lauren, I don't know if there's no spoilers to really report or if they were not letting her say too much because, spoiler-wise, I really didn't get anything out of her at all. So I'm hoping it's just she can't talk, not that she's not on that much. But so we discussed Quinn's return, stuff with Stefano, the Madison thing, and had a nice little conversation about art, too. So make sure you guys check it out. And you can tweet to Lauren at Lauren Coswell. And Lauren has a new Facebook fan page, too. It's Lauren Coswell fan page, I believe, on Facebook.
Fan club?
To make sure.
Fan club page.
Fan club page. Okay. Yes, yeah, so make sure you check that out. So, I just started it this week. So, anybody want to start with the really lackluster magic wedding? What'd you guys Yeah, it was bad. And you guys see the magic wedding this week?
I missed it, but it's kind of sad. It was like you blink and you miss it. I thought there was going to be a lot more, I don't know.
Well, they didn't have enough characters there for it. I mean, Bo and Hope weren't there,
mm-hmm.
right? It was just Daniel, Melanie. And my question is, when did Justin become ordained to be able to perform a service?
Oh, he did that.
I was wondering that when I saw the preview for it. I was thinking, okay, well, what does Justin do that he, I figure he must be some kind of, he's not a judge.
No, he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer.
I didn't know lawyers could perform weddings.
Lawyers don't perform weddings.
I mean, I guess he's already in line to work on the divorce papers when that occurs in a couple of weeks, but that was odd. I just wanted to throw that out there. I didn't watch it, but, I mean, seeing the previews and reading on Twitter, I was just like, how did that happen?
That's funny.
I don't know. Somehow that was less of a that wasn't nearly as bad as having Daniel and Melanie be the only guest. Oh my God.
Well, that's the thing. I was expecting it to be some big deal. And why did they get stuck doing the wedding the week of, the Stormapalooza?
Like, you have a
balloon.
Yeah. Why don't you just put it off? You're Victor Kiriakis. What, are you going to get married in secret? While everybody
I
in
guess
the
I was
account?
Supposed to pin
I would think,
Daniel being her son. I guess that was...
I would think a wedding with lots of characters there, dressed all nice and
the thing you
had
didn't know you had. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been great for the ratings since Magic's one of the big couples. It seems like they could have devoted a whole episode to just the wedding and not have it going back and forth between different groups. I mean, but whatever. I'm not a writer. I'm just a fan. Sort of.
Well, if you think back to the state wedding. I mean, granted, Kate was crying through it and not happy tears.
Even the wedding to Vivian was more amusing.
I think they had a great opportunity.
And it had
amusing.
Everybody showed up because they wanted to see. They wanted to see the catastrophe, I guess. But Magic gets nobody except new son and granddaughter.
Yeah, well, that is sad because they've had a 2-year build-up for this, relationship.
Yeah.
And it's been a nice slow burn. It's been a great pace. They've had their ups and downs. And, their relationship along with Stefano and Kate until recently when they hardly ever on, those two relationships have been, to me, the most interesting of the show up to this point the last couple of years. So, yeah, for them to just do this, I didn't even know, maybe I'm just not paying attention, but I didn't even know the big wedding was this week until they started talking about it. What's that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it was publicized.
It was publicized that last week at Day of Days. It was the very first thing on the promo.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't make a really big deal. I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a soft cover or anything.
I know it's not the thing everybody took away from the promo.
Yeah.
It didn't get me to watch.
The wedding was awful. I mean, you had Daniel sulking the entire time. Then he finds out via text message that Maggie's his mother, which I didn't realize they do that now.
That's exactly how you found out life. Yeah, you find out life-altering news through a text message. At least it wasn't a text.
Yeah.
And then
Melanie was mugging for the camera the entire wedding. And, was so super annoying.
The only shot I saw in the promo was a lot of inappropriate, looks between Melanie and her father.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, even at Dave, there was a, and I'm not trying to say that the actors are doing this, but there was this picture at Day of Days when they were just kicking back and they were kind of half sitting laying next to each other. I was kind of going,
the actor and the actress.
Well, I know.
When you're in the scene and you're looking at your father, you should not be looking at him unless you want to pull his clothes off.
Yeah.
Maybe she really does.
Well, there was a YouTube clip.
Does,
there was
out for the audience to see.
Yeah, there was an early YouTube clip of when Melanie met Daniel and she was lusting after him.
That's right.
For real, it is true. She had the house for her father.
She was lusting
after
everybody.
Yeah, she was
But
the snowstorm was the excuse for... I can see that being an excuse for not having Melissa and Sarah at the wedding.
Yeah.
And not to have Doug and Julie, Beau and Hope, Jennifer, Abigail, Adrian, Sonny, Will, Allie.
Planning a ski trip with Jack on the day her aunt gets married?
Yeah,
it's actually the day before, but still, you know, when they got trapped.
And there's a storm.
Yeah,
they knew there
stupid.
Was a storm coming. It's not like it was a big surprise the storm was coming. Now, I mean, I like the whole, like, concept of the big storm thing. I like that thing that kind of reminded me of the old days where, you know, there would just be this event and it would affect all these different people in certain ways. And, it, you know, push these people together in, like, an awkward but sexual way that, you know, like, you know, forces the relationship along or whatever. So, I was fine with that part. But you're totally right about all the key people that we wanted to see at their wedding weren't there, and it's not like they couldn't have just postponed it. You know, that's why I think that here they've hit all the right notes until now with that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really strange. And,
well, they've been doing things, you know, he talked about when he reset the tank party was going on about how he's going to have to spend money. So that's just the way it is to make it look better. But other than camera shots, which are all null maxim, which sadly we're losing, they're not doing anything. I mean, Bo and Hope walked in the door on Friday complaining about how cold it was, and he's in a blazer, and she doesn't even have a sweater on, and there's no snow in the background.
Well,
I mean, how much does it cost to do a little fake snow around the edges
or
you know, tint the windows a bit?
Well, the next day, the day after the big blizzard that took the whole town down,
I actually saw this
ahead of time. I thought, okay, because I knew Marlena and who was it that went to the store to get Madison, they're buddying up or whatever. I thought, I bet you money they're going to walk through the town square and there's not going to be an ounce or a drop of snow anywhere.
Well, that's because the town square is under glass, though.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, they said,
I take that back.
They did that on purpose so that they wouldn't have to spend money on snow.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, that's
but,
cool.
You know, around the doorway to Alice's house, come on.
Mm-hmm.
There should be. And how much does it cost? It can't cost that much. We're talking about a few dollars.
All they gotta do is just take some cotton and throw it around. I mean,
yeah, it's ridiculous. Not to mention, it doesn't cost anything to put a big jacket on Peter Reckel and, you know, Mr. Neil Fonseca. So that when they walk in the door, if they're complaining about how cold it is, they actually look like they dressed for it.
Oh, I know. But I did like the Jack and Jen stuff, like in the mountains or wherever they were. I liked that.
I missed that.
I thought that was great.
I need to go watch it.
And those were great.
I saw the episode where they came back and they were kissing. That was great.
SJ, do you want to weigh in?
That was awesome.
I hear
I've waited
scenes
so
where he
long.
Down were really good.
Yeah, Matt did really good, and from what I hear, there's going to be more. In fact, they're still going to be doing it into January. I read the article that you posted about Marlena taking Jack to a veterans center, and they're actually going to have veterans on, which I think is cool. But but yeah, I know I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the scenes in the cabin. The chemistry between Matt Ashford and Melissa Reaves is still there. You can see it. Definitely. I mean, I know that I'm kind of blinded, but I just don't see that kind of chemistry with Daniel and Jennifer as Jack and Jennifer have. That's just me. But I enjoyed
the
scenes
with Daniel and anybody.
Right.
Daniel just bores me to tears.
Except his own daughter. The chemistry with his own daughter.
He just can't turn it off. That's the thing. He's got this, you know, he's just oozing with sexual whatever. And
well, that's
like,
fine.
He can't turn it off.
And I can go off somewhere. God.
Oh, was Melanie ever his patient? Oh, I don't think I don't think she was. Was he? Was she?
Oh,
probably
she
not.
Shot? Was she when she got shot? Was
oh
he,
yeah, she got
her
oh,
shot.
Oh yeah,
at her
he probably did. He probably did see her boobies then. Oh great. Ugh.
No,
never
no.
Knew.
He already knew he was her dad, didn't he? Did he know
he
was
yet.
A dad?
No, I don't think
no.
He did because I don't think she knew Carly was her mom yet. That was the whole thing that Carly was trying to protect her from Vivian and blah, blah, blah. And then shot her.
Um.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, I think we were talking to Jack and Jen at the cabin.
Oh, Jack and Jen. Yeah, that was... Yeah. Oh, the part where Daniel goes to stop by Jennifer's house to see how her ski trip went with Jack. Again, another stalkerish moment from... Why did Daniel have to check in on her every time?
What is he doing listening to Brady, of all people, give him romantic
advice?
Why
are they even hanging out?
Oh, gosh. I got to tell you, those scenes, like, were a throwback for me back when we used to bash Daniel all the time, like, on the board. Actually, we could get away with more. I don't really like the NBC board. I like Sony a lot better, but... you could actually, like, make fun of Daniel over there and call him nicknames and stuff. And so, of course, we did. And we had him in the anti-caption of the day, and we had his own thread in the anti-room. And so we had a lot of fun with him. And at one point, somebody came up with the idea of Dandy, you know, Dan and Brady. And so, because there was a scene a couple of years ago where they were jogging and they were both sweating and they were talking about relationships and all, we're like, somebody even made a video of the two of them. I think it was like It Takes Two or something like that, or, you know, whatever. Oh, I just remembered that. I had forgotten all about it. Anyway, so I was just cracking up thinking about that when they were having their scenes. And I was just thinking, too, it's like, you know, the conversation they were having is so, and I know this sounds sexist, but it's so much more like what girls would say to each other, not, you know, like teenage girls or something, not like grown men. But, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, I guess, but it just was kind of funny, like, yeah, let's just go over and, like, talk to her, and, you know, oh, I don't know, it was just funny. So, you know, what can I say?
I don't know. I enjoyed him looking through the window and the color falling out of his face when he saw Jack and Jennifer kissing.
I like that.
Booyah, right there.
And having
that,
and having the color run out of his
Brady's face, too, when he did a double date.
And he's like, oh, I guess that wasn't the
Ready
best idea.
Well, you know, if they don't forget history, Brady should remember that Jack was his mom's best friend, so he should actually be more happy that Jack and Jennifer are getting back together. But no, they don't remember all that.
Seems nobody remembers why Jack ought to be with Jennifer. They're all
right.
It seems like everybody in town is
turns on Jack.
Well, you know what Jack is like.
Yeah. Well, they've made it out to be that he's always leaving them. But, I mean, when you go back into history, in 93, Jack left when they fired Matt. Okay. And then in 2003, they killed him. In 2004, they killed him. In 2005, they killed him. They kept killing him. He wasn't leaving willingly. They kept killing him.
I know.
I have to laugh on a show where every other word they speak about John Black is how the Daenerys are screwing up his life. But, no, we don't remember that the Daenerys did anything to Jack.
Right. I mean, first off, I don't think Jennifer would be happy, even though Chad is still a good guy. He hasn't quite went over to the dark side. I don't think Jennifer would be happy that Abigail is dating a Daenerys after all the things that the Daenerys have done to Jack in the past 7 or 8 years. But, you know, again, that's just me. We forget this part of history. We just make Jack is a deadbeat dad who always leaves his family. And that's not true.
Not to mention, we cannot mention Peter.
No,
Peter is stupid. That their daughter is having a relationship with the Daenerys, and we can't bring up the fact that Jen was married to Peter Blake.
We kind of have a theory that part of history has been erased because they haven't mentioned it since Melissa Reese came back in 2000. It has never been addressed that she was married to Peter. So...
I can understand her having it in her contract that what's his name is never allowed to come back to the show, which is ludicrous as far as I'm concerned, because it was both of them. It wasn't like it was all him, number one. And number two, fine, but that doesn't mean you don't talk about the character. That history is just erased. Simply. It's like the stupid Gemini twins. I know it's stupid, but it still was there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and they think that fans forget history, but there are groups, you know, like us, they're so into our couples that we know everything that's ever happened. So we're not going to forget it. I mean, again, YouTube's
right.
out there. We're not going to forget.
Right.
So.
And we're not going to forget that Anna would never dime out Calliope, or vice versa, Kyle
right.
and Calliope would never
yeah.
dime out Anna. You know,
oh, yeah,
things like that.
We're not going to forget the character responsible for doing that either. I'm sorry.
Right.
Right.
You mean the guy? You mean the guy in the jean commercial? That guy.
From what I hear,
he's suddenly doing absolutely everything in his power to save John. Can we stop doing that? Let someone shoot John, please.
Make him a hurt.
How could that sniper miss? Please just someone explain to me how you could have a rifle that expensive and miss.
Apparently, he went to the same school to learn how to shoot a gun as Sammy did. So. Same range.
Yeah. Hey, we have a caller.
Oh, we have two callers. What? Holy cow.
Yeah.
No.
Let me computer's a little slow. There we go. 770, is this Angela?
Yes, it is. How are you, Glad Ladies, tonight?
Hello.
Let me pull up Sarah, too, while I got a minute. 775, is this Sarah?
Hello.
Hey,
Sarah.
Okay.
What a surprise. Is your area code 775? Wow. Oh, I'm just being goofy. As usual.
So what's on your mind, Angela?
Oh, I was thinking about the wedding too, and I still, even though they sort of level set the expectation that things were not going to be quite right between Maggie and Victor, back right even before the reset, they said it wasn't going to be that simple, and of course now we've got this, the egg story and Daniel, but. I'm still not sure that's really the story. Obviously the story, if they go back with history, if Victor at that period, that general period of time, I know all the timelines are kind of screwed up because of just how they store us, people and people come and go, but he was involved with that drug cartel at the time that supposedly, this 30 years ago event took place, because right when he started on the show in the 80s, I guess, when John Aniston first joined and the character of Victor was created, because they really, right, so that was about the time that Joe Mescola had left, for a while, and that was, one of the things, maybe one of the reasons why they created part of the Kyriakos, group is because Stefano was gone. I can't remember if Toto, because I know that Teo left and came back a couple of times in that same era.
Victor showed up in summer. I think it was July or beginning of August, and
mm-hmm.
Tony left in October, the end of October.
Okay.
They got married. Tony and Anna got married the night they went to one of Victor's parties.
Oh, okay.
And Victor went to a couple of their parties too.
Mhm. And so, I think maybe Jamie Giddens on Daytime Confidential had a podcast or some conversation at some point talking a little bit about, where was the differentiation truly with the Kyriakos versus the Damaras, and now that I've read that they've hired Ian Buchanan, who I guess he won't start until the spring. February,
mm-hmm.
March timeframe, and it doesn't sounds like he's going to be a different baddie. And just watching some of the interviews, and I've been really busy the last couple of weeks. Since I missed the show. I think I got caught up last week, and then I watched several of the interviews from Day of Days in the last probably 24 hours, 48 hours, and I'm just curious. Like I said, I think the wedding was kind of odd, and of course,
one of the problems might be is one of the eggs. Apparently, there's some pie in, and there's speculation that one of the eggs made EJ
Yeah, but see, the thing,
the problem with that, though, is that Victor was in the middle of, I mean, he didn't have, I don't see how he could have been involved with that, because he was in the middle of.
Well, you know, one of the things.
He was having a heart attack at the time, maybe.
Really? Well, I may not have, y'all are closer on the dates than I am. I was, but as far as. If, let's say, it was still during the time that he was in the drug cartel, because he was saying, you know, to whoever he called, you know, that he didn't want his name associated with anything to do with his Riverside Clinic and so forth, that was at the same story time that they were doing the drug cartel. And Savannah Wilder was on the show, played by Shannon Tweed. And I've seen several things, and again, this may just all be, you know, hoopla, but I have seen where she is actually supposed to be coming to do, you know, a couple of guest spots at some point this year, you know, towards the end of the year, a couple of scenes. So that's why I thought maybe it really is going to have, it's going to tie back somehow to when he was involved with the drug cartel. Certainly he wouldn't have, you know, approved all that. And then I just kind of wonder if, in fact, truly Daniel is going to turn out to really be Maggie's son. You know, there really is not a whole lot of excitement associated with that, and I mean, it wouldn't have been my choice anyway.
With Melanie or Daniel, but the writers, that doesn't stop, seem to stop the writers from wanting to make force us to like them.
Yeah.
They think
I keep thinking, and again, this is, you know, because I've, you know, looked at the contract dates. I'm just thinking, are they just trying to use them until their contracts run close to being out?
Yeah,
well, when
are their contracts up? Please tell us, because I would love to have a due date so I can start crossing off.
I think that right now Daniels, the actor that plays at Daniels, is up in March. I don't know what the dates are for Molly Burnett. But it just seems almost Pardon me?
5 months, yay.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I feel like, you know, I agree with a lot of you, what y'all were saying, too, about the snow and the situation with the wedding, to the point where I kind of wondered if maybe, you know, there was definitely snow for the Jack and Jennifer segments of that story. There was snow at the DeMera Mansion on the French doors and so forth. I noticed that with EJ and Nicole and so forth. So I wonder if maybe they changed their mind about exactly how they were going to do that wedding. Because, again, I think it was kind of a build-up. And with the engagement and everything else, it just didn't seem, I agree with what y'all were saying, it seemed very anticlimactic, and to the point where I wonder if they really, they wouldn't want to do a big, you know, joyous wedding for Maggie if it's not actually going to work out. You know, and I'm not saying that's the truth, right? I don't know anything anymore anybody else says, but it just almost that the whole, it was so odd and awkward that I felt like that, you know, really maybe it's kind of showing us that there's still something wrong. Maybe Daniel really isn't, you know, and of course I won't go into it. I've read several spoilers or rumors.
Doing that simply because Victor has lied. Obviously, he's lied, so it's gonna come out.
And if they're truly gonna bring Savannah Wilder back out of the mothballs, you know, from that era, you know, it's got to somehow be tied to that drug cartel.
Where did you see that? I mean, I've heard her name pushed around, but I haven't seen SOD or anybody come out and say she was coming back.
I have to think about it. I may have read it. It may have been like on Wikipedia. I'm trying to, because, you know, they had a big thing, with the reality program that she's tied with, and it was something during that time that I had read. I can't even tell you where it was. I'll have to think about it. But I have read it in more than one place. And like I said, Wikipedia is certainly not necessarily now. If SJ tells us something, we know that it's really true. That's the regular Wikipedia on the internet. We can't always guarantee it, but I have heard that she, you know, and if that's the case, that really is a tie back to the cartel. But also, you know, Judy Evans, you know, has said, even even at the time that they did the Day of Days, that they really don't know how much they're going to use, you know, she or Wally going forward right now. You know, there's been so many opportunities for Adrian to be involved with Jack. I think that would have given so much more sympathy to him if he had had her to talk with.
Yeah.
I mean, they did that at the very beginning.
They did have that at the beginning, and then it was like, oh, that was such a great scene. Those are such great scenes.
Well, if you go back, they'll bring her back. Hopefully they'll bring her back.
I hope they will. I know that you know, she, on one of the interviews I saw from Day of Days, because she was there at Day of Days, and she and Wally both were, but she still was pretty cagey about saying, you know, she really didn't know, you know, exactly how much they were going to use them. And I wonder, you know, part of the business model that they at least espoused that they were going with is they were going to have, like, 15 core people.
Right.
And right now they got more than 15 core people on there right now. And, you know, most of the folks, you know, that are, and again, I don't know what the recurring people get, if they're getting scale for each day that they play. I'm sure John Aniston's making more than scale, and they've used him a lot in the last couple of years as recurring. So, I just kind of wonder if there's going to be still some more reshaping going on over the next 6 or 8 months. Like I said, I feel like, you know, the show.
Well, the new executive producer started last week, so you never know.
I'm sure it'll depend on the rating.
You know, with this new co-executive producer, we don't know what's going to happen either, you know. Could be a good thing, you know. Just have to see.
Well,
does anybody know very much about her?
I really
don't.
The
only good thing I've heard was that she was part of the last season of Night Shift, which was really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also
that.
And
the other thought, too, is that I know this, again, is like it shouldn't even be an issue, but it might be kind of nice to have a female perspective in the power positions there, you know?
True.
She may get outvoted.
I don't know.
I may not agree with it, what she says. I'm not saying that she knows everything. But I think it might be
for years
nice.
About the writing,
well,
too, and then we got Dina.
Yeah, but I mean, and obviously that's not the only, you know, I mean, that's not the only thing about it, but I'm just thinking, you know, maybe like if they're in meetings and all and they're going over lines and it's, you know, another joke about wrinkle cream and stuff, that maybe she'd be like, your demographics aren't really going to appreciate women making fun of other women that are gorgeous anyway, but making ageist, sexist jokes about them, you know. So, you know, you never know. Maybe there will be a little influence. Or it could be worse. I don't know. But Noel Maxson was a great guy. And from everything I've heard from, you know, the industry, was that he was really well respected. So, I don't know. I hope this is – I'm sad to see him go.
I am, too. I watched that episode. And, I mean, other than a few things I really liked, the only part about it I really liked the best was the way they shot it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Or a soap opera.
Did he direct that episode too?
He didn't direct it, but he's the one who's changed all of the camera angles and all of that.
Yes,
stuff.
I love
that. He's doing the stuff that Ed Scott was doing when Ed Scott was executive producer.
Right.
And
right.
That's
I think he's been
away.
At Y&R.
We're going to end up. You know, we're going to end up with what Gary Tomlin was doing again, and that's
well, we,
just
we
not.
We don't know that for sure,
well,
but I noticed it with the Horton Town Square too, the camera angles and the way they were shooting things, and
we'll
that was great too.
We'll see.
They did some great things, you know, with the shooting through the fireplace at Chez Rouge, and then just this week, because this would still be airing some of the shows that Noel Maxson was involved with, and I can't think now if it was Hope and Jennifer that were sitting on the sofa in the Horton living room talking, but the camera rolled, you know. And it was just really nice. I mean, the way they were doing that, you know, versus just having a shot directly at them and just sitting there. You know, they were, you know, the camera was. So
they
I,
made,
you know,
I mean, they had that sniper. They had that sniper getting ready to shoot for 40 damn minutes. The only thing that made it interesting was the different camera angles and the way they shot it. I mean, even then, I was still rolling my eyes after about 30 minutes. But still, it looked great. It was stupid, but it looked great.
You gotta give them credit for something.
And if they're taking away the one thing that made it interesting, that's not.
Well, I'm just concerned that they may be starting to worry that they're not getting the return that they thought they were going to get, and therefore Lisa. I can't think of the Cosette. I'm not quite sure it's a French name. But, you know, she has worked with the writer. She's worked with Marlene before and with the Ray Thomas on Passions, because she was on there the whole time.
Don't mention that word with that one online. Well, see, my question about that is when Ken Corday goes into SOD and says, oh, well, you haven't seen anything yet. They're starting out slow, but it's really going to pick up. Then why would we be firing somebody if we already know that it's going to start out slow?
Well, they're already making excuses that it's going to speed up now. I mean, if you saw the interview, and I hope everybody did get a chance to see the Michael Fairman interview with James Scott. It was posted earlier this morning. It's on air.
No.
Fantastic interview with, he really asked some really good questions, and James, was a little bit cagey as he usually is, but it was excellent. It's about 16 minutes long, so it's worth watching. I think they realized that there are some problems. You know, a couple of weeks ago when they had both Marlene and I can't call anybody's name tonight. Ray Thomas, I can't think of this. Daryl Ray Thomas, that's his name. Somehow they were saying that they all had the flu. They were all upset, and then there was a 2-week break. And then James talks a good bit about the stuff that's coming up, which I won't go into, but for next week, and how they during a 2-week break, he and Allison came in to, work at me, and like for several hours, multiple days, they came in during the holiday or during the break to work with the writers, to work with everybody, to work with coaches and everything to get through those scenes. So I think they realize that there's something that's missing here, that it's just we're not sitting on the edge of our seats with the John and the pension fund.
John and Marlene.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
might be because they do nothing but repeat the same damn conversation over and over and over.
Well, I thought kind of the setup for all that made a lot of sense, to have some sort of, to get out of some of the same old that, they're actually having sort of a white collar crime thing that reflects what's happening in our society, unfortunately. And, we've got the hero who's been accused, and there's a whole complication of him, his brain being, clear, being defragged or whatever, and then rebooted. And so, there's all that going on. But they don't really mention half of that. They did actually mention it this week, I think.
They waited until they had EJ explaining to Stefano what he did. Don't even get me started on that part. It's like listening to 2005 all over again. Didn't you get flashback to Andre telling Bart how the hell he killed everybody?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
It was like they ripped off the same damn script.
Well, I think if you watch the interview with James Scott, and again, I'm not trying to read tea leaves because I really don't know, but, one of the things that, I had questioned from the beginning is that when James Scott's contract was up at the end of April or early May, everyone said, oh, well, he signed, everything's just great. Yeah, I never had a real comfort level with that. And then in some interview or in something that I saw him in, he kept saying something about, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. The proof will be in the pudding come October, which, of course, is when they really kind of put him off to the side, and we haven't seen even many of the Damaras, which is something we've talked about a good bit in October. And I think, and obviously the ratings certainly have not improved, I don't think. If not anything, they've gotten worse. So, it's almost like, and when he was talking with Michael Fairman, he said that the negotiation, and also Buzzworthy Radio, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but anyway, he also did an interview that's out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Neville, yeah, that, like, mm-hmm. And he said, and he also said, you know, about how tough the negotiation was, and it went on for 6 months, which would put it back from May. So basically they gave him an extension while they continued to negotiate what was going to happen. And, of course, you know, we had the brouhaha on Soap Opera Digest saying that they had broken down, their negotiations had broken mm-hmm. down, which was really the first news we even had that really there was even negotiation going on, because everyone kept saying, oh, well, he signed it in the May or whenever, it was not an issue. And so I thought it was kind of interesting, if you go and listen to what all James does say in that, and the fact that, you know, even when we read, I think I read it 2 weeks ago, it was on Twitter when they said, okay, he's signed, you know, they finished the contract, they've got it agreed upon, he's going to be there through April of 2013. He made a special point, and especially in the Michael Fairman interview, I think, and maybe in the Buzzworthy Radio too, where he said that he did not sign the contract until after 2 o'clock, the Friday before Day of Days. And
wow.
And then also in one of the other interviews, he said, you know, it had been discussed and they had a lot of agreements, but he also said, I think it was in the Fairman interview, that he had seen some of the scenes. He had seen the editing of the scenes with Allison, you know, which obviously are going to be airing next, towards the end of next week, and that he got to see a preview of that just at the end of last week as well. So it's almost like, I mean, I got the sense, and again, I guess I am reading tea leaves, because again, I don't know anything. I'm just sitting here watching the show. But I just kind of wonder if some of the direction of making sure that he was really going to have a prominent role on the program, that he was not going to kind of be sidelined, this whole mayor story just hasn't really jumped out at me so far. Maybe it's going to change.
Oh, I kind of like the politics stuff, but then again.
Oh, I had for what they've shown of it, but you know, I guess I haven't seen enough of it. I guess I like to see James Scott on there more often than we've been seeing in the last couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, they've been benching their, you know, players, some of their players, and it's really mm-hmm. ticking me off.
So I think, I guess I just, you know, watch, you know, give a chance, listen to them, watch those interviews and see, like I said, just, I thought there's some of the answers were just kind of interesting. So it just made me sense that, you know, he really, you know, really was pushing to, I'm not saying have the E-Jammy thing come back. I don't know what's going to happen with that. They've also got their story with Nicole, and I think that's probably going to all be part of the program for quite some time. But I just thought it was interesting, like I said, just and it was an excellent interview. Michael Fairman, I think, always does really good interviews. So it was really pretty good. And I guess we'll kind of wait and see. You know, I think the show is just just a little bit
well,
dull.
I know there's
Jack and Jennifer. If I could watch Jack and Jennifer all day long, and
yes,
that's probably the part that I'm, you know, the most engaged in right now. And like I said, and I really, I'm just not feeling the vibe with Austin and Carrie and Race and Sammy. I mean, I just feel like we've been there, done that, and. I just don't know. Like I said, I do like the character of Carrie. Loved her when she was on before too. But yeah, but you know, it's just not interesting to me. Like I said, I mean, I just don't. It's just hard for me. You know, even when I sit down to try, and again this last week because I had missed so many episodes, I really had sat down with the DVR to try to go back, or online if I didn't have it on the DVR, and I just would find myself, even when I was sitting here in front of the computer, doing nothing but staring at the screen, my mind would start to wander, you know, and the next thing I know, you know, I've got my Christmas cards out and I'm addressing them while I'm watching the show. You know, so it's just like, I don't know. I mean, do y'all feel that way too, or is it just
me?
Yeah,
well, it's sad because I think they could have done this story and made it interesting, because the real life story of what's his name is full of drama. I mean, his wife and his son who killed himself
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you read one article about that family, and it's just insane. And this is the best they can do for this story. I just, you know, this is a good idea of a story, but they don't know how, but they're, from what I've seen, they don't know how to make it dramatic.
No, and they're doing the thing that they said they were not going to do. And one of those first interviews that I really liked with Marlene and Daryl Ray Thomas, they were saying, you know, we're not going to just sit around the table and talk about whatever is going on. We're going to be doing it.
Well, we also said there were going to be character-driven stories. So, yeah.
I've seen a lot of those so far. And you know, just the whole I don't feel the vibe at all with Austin, which I think I talked about another time when I dialed in. But I just, like I said, there's just something that's just not, that's missing there. And
I'm sticking him with Rafe.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Rafe doesn't make anybody interesting. I'm sorry.
It's really, yeah, like I said, they've got new people coming. Like Lisa Rinna's coming back as Billy. I hope that's not going to have anything.
I hear that that's not a done deal the way everybody's made it sound.
Yeah,
really?
I don't think it's a done deal yet, yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, I think it
actually,
would be...
it was Corday in last week's thought. He said he kind of was flip-flopping back and forth whether or not it was done deal or not, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right,
makes
I didn't realize
like
that.
Or he just doesn't know what's going on. I mean, maybe
there's so many people that, you know, wouldn't it be great to have, you know, Tony back? You know, I'd much rather be seeing Tony than seeing Billy.
I'd rather see Tony, but
then,
I don't know. These writers don't pick it up.
Think,
no, not really.
If you think about it, I mean, I know we're biased, but, I mean, I know that most of us are big, you know, Teo fans or Tony and Anna fans, but seriously, other than maybe a few people who just never really watched the show, or maybe were too young to watch when he was on before, but even the young girls that I know love him, but really there's almost no one you can think of besides him that literally you never hear anything bad about. Like you like somebody might be indifferent. You know, there might be a few people who are indifferent that maybe just the character never caught on to them.
I know a few people who.
But for the most, but I mean, I'm thinking for the most part, those people don't count. But for the most part, he's pretty much universally loved, you know. And so, I mean, for him to come back, and as long as the writing was, you know, good and appropriate and everything, I think that would be, they would score so much more than even bringing John and Marlena back. I mean, I'm glad Drake's back, and I'm not saying that I'm not happy to see him, but I just, I think they thought that they were going to bring a ton of people with them, and I just don't think that's necessarily happened. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well,
I don't hear that much talk about him, really.
Well, I haven't minded that. There's too many fans who I had to listen to for too many years go on about how if you just gave Donna and Marlena a really good story, the ratings would go sky high. Oh, yeah, sure. It's no more true for them. It's no more true for any people than it is for them. But I still have to hear, if they'd only do a love scene, a really good love scene.
Teo's not polarizing. His character's not polarizing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you just, a lot of people just really like him and like his character. The character.
Well, he's a superb actor. I mean, he's one of the best actors that has ever been on the
show.
And
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it would be so great to have, you know, Tony and Anna back and have, I mean, if only they would now do something, even if, you know, if there was something where Tony and Anna had to come back and live in the mansion with Stefano and Kate or something, you know. I think that would be so fun.
I think it's just a crime that Kate is living in the Demira mansion and Tony and Anna are not there driving her right up the wall.
I know. That would be so
right
fun.
Up the wall. That is just
I mean,
wrong.
That would be so fun. They could just get on each other's
day.
I had a scenario a few years ago where I was like, okay, somehow Anna and Kate and Anna have to work together. You know, be it and Kate, you know, now it would be Countess Wilhelmina, but somehow they figure out that, as frenemies, that they need each other in one sense, but they still can't stand each other. I mean, that would be like the most fun dynamic, and then to have Tony in the middle there, who we know he has chemistry and loves to play, loves to tango with Kate, but
course, that was Andre, but now as it's rewritten. But Anna's jealous. But I just think it would be so fun to have that dynamic again, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it probably won't happen, but I really wish that I really think that would give them a lot of energy that they're missing right now.
Well, they need a comic part to the show that they're suddenly it's just gone because they're not using it with Jack because they're giving Jack post-traumatic stress syndrome. So we're not going to get any comedy in that direction.
Melanie, your favorite character. But, I mean, at least with Brady and Melanie, they had fun together and they were kind of cute. And even back further, like Mark Hapka,
he was playing Nathan.
You know, he was really cute. And, you know, I mean, there was some fun there, but it's like, and then even like back when Tony and Anna and Kate were working together a few years ago, they were hilarious together. I mean, that was so fun. And
I don't know whose bright idea it was to bring in Madison and make her Kate's rival.
I don't know, but
I mean, in what universe do you bring in a younger woman to be Kate's rival? That's just...
The thing of it is, in bringing someone that really most of us as Dave fans don't care about, you know. I mean, if they were going to bring anyone in...
If you wanted to bring somebody on for Brady, that's okay, as long as they don't shove it down our throat.
Not if you're a Nicole and Brady fan. It's not
Well, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm like Nicole with almost anybody she'd be with, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nicole, has everybody seen the promo from Day of Days?
Yeah.
And what did
no,
we,
I haven't.
Think? Oh, okay.
I mean, the November Sweeps promo?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I've been out of the loop this week.
What about the very end? The jammy stuff?
AJ, it's on Soap Opera Digest. AJ and Sammy are going to end up getting together on Friday.
Yeah.
And I think, I was surprised. And, again, I saw this late because, again, I didn't see everything when it aired this week. I kind of had to catch up. But I don't know if it was last Monday or last Tuesday, the scene with EJ and Nicole there in that DeMiro living room. I swear to you, these people have got 19 bedrooms. They need to go up to a bedroom. That couch is disgusting. I don't want to see anybody else getting it all.
Why would Nicole want to have sex?
There's this guy there's this person that tweets this stuff in a mirror. You know, you've probably seen him or her tweeting about, you know, Wicked Wednesday and, you know, stuff like that. And I hadn't seen the episode that Nicole and EJ had done the deed on. And I saw him say something about how he was getting his sofa steam cleaned or something like that. I was cracking up. It wasn't until later that I was like, I was just thinking of the past experiences that have occurred.
It was unbelievable because they had several encounters on that sofa whatever day it was. And then I really think Arianne Tucker is a great actress. I think she has really been a trooper these last two, 3 years with some of the storylines.
Yeah.
And I just feel like right now she's not being, you know, she's kind of in Neverland. And
they're not using her. It's really sad. I feel like they're doing the same with Lauren, too.
Yeah, I tweeted something the other day about, you know, to the writers and the producers or something like benching your best players, not winning, you know. It's like, you know, nobody benches their best player. I mean, I'm not saying, like, I think Matt Ashford's great and Missy. I mean, those guys are great. You know, I'm happy that they're on. And I think they're one of the top draws for me right now watching. But it's like, you know, what, they're going to sit out Kate and Stefano and, even EJ to a degree. I mean, somebody was going off on EJ and complaining on Twitter today, and I was thinking, he's been on like once a week for like the last 2 months.
I
mean, it's
and
ridiculous.
It just hasn't been that much. Well, yeah, like I said, I don't, and again, I'm not a tremendous Melanie fan, and
people can say what they like about James Scott, but the fact is that he's a bigger draw for this show than anybody else.
You don't bench your marquee player, and you don't bench the people that add spice to the show. You know,
unless it was a part of the test of with the contract negotiation of okay, well, I won't be on all the time. Put Rafe out there. Put some of the other folks
out
and see what happens. And see, and now they've got, you know, empirical evidence. You did this for, 6 weeks? And, you know.
Well, all you have to do is look what happened when they had two Rafes on. Come on.
I know.
I know there are Galen Gehring fans who are going to swear up and down, no matter what the ratings do when he's on all the time, that it's not his fault. But that doesn't make it.
It's fine. I don't care whether he's on the show or not. It's not going to make or break me one way or the other. I just, frankly, you know, I just, like I said, I would. They need to give him a backstory. They need to bring back Emily or whoever.
At this point, I almost want him on. I am dying for the day to see his face when he finds out that Sammy had sex with EJ.
I'm sure that's going to be a part of this.
See Galen Gehring do.
Yeah.
What do you want to bet that Sammy ends up pregnant?
We might actually discover he has more than one range of motion as far as they need to get.
Now, actually, I think if somebody ends up pregnant, it might be Nicole.
I don't want to see anybody having babies right now. I really don't. I'm sick of all of it. You can't do anything with all the babies, and then you don't have, you know, and poor little Caroline over there at the Brady Pub can only take care of so many children. I really think, you know,
I don't care with who Nicole ends up with, but she wanted a baby. She should get a baby.
I still want her and Brady to get together.
She had me hating her guts over what she did to Tony. Uh-huh. So she's really won me over. But
yeah, Ariana has done a fantastic job on the show. And what upset me about watching the episode last week is that, and again, they could have very easily been using a body double. I really don't know, you know, how they handle all those types of scenes. But, you know, to me, it was just almost, it was insulting to a certain point. I don't need to see, and not interested in them showing, you know, all this, the two of them, you know, you're not seeing that much of EJ. EJ's sitting on the floor. You know, James Scott, you know, is so tall. You know, he could sit on the floor, and you still would only see, you know, from, you know, really his chest up. But they had her stand off to the side and have like a shawl over her front. And you could see her complete back. And again, it may not have been her. It may have been a body double. A girl in pink panties. And, you know, you could see every little bone in her back and outline her side. And I just thought, you know, that just isn't necessary. I don't think people are tuning in to see a whole lot of women.
You watched in the 80s?
Yeah, I watched in the 80s. That was probably the height.
There were some sex scenes in the 80s that
This wasn't even a sex scene. This was her just standing there, and the camera angle was basically her backside and her side frame. I just thought it was just, and like I said, it may not have been Ariana. It could have been a body double, but I just felt like it was just that. Yeah, you know, that was just almost kind of distasteful to me, you know, and it didn't add anything at all to the whole, you know, situation, to that whole scene.
But again, yeah, I saw it, you know, kind of in the vacuum because, you know, I didn't watch it when it aired. You know, I saw a whole bunch of stuff back to back because I was just trying to get caught up. So that, yeah, that can sometimes change your perception of how it was. But I just feel like Ariane needs to have a storyline. And, you know, again, I did like her with Brady, and I still kind of wish that they would, you know, there was going to be a storyline for them. But I don't know that they are with Madison right now on the show, the new character. But and they do need to spend time introducing her and getting her acclimated on the program. So I just don't know. But I think Ariane Zucker has done a tremendous job with the show, mm-hmm. and it disturbs me to see kind of where she is right now and where in the storyline. Just like with what, you know, y'all had an excellent interview. I listened to the Laura. I didn't get to hear live, but I listened to the both the Lauren Coslow interviews y'all have done, the in-depth one you did a couple of weeks ago, and then the one from this past week. And I left a second interview concerned that, you know, what is really going on with the Damaris? You know how we worried about that 3-4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
think they're trying
that.
To snuff them out. I really think they're trying to castrate them somehow, you know, like just like diminish their power in Salem. And the thing of it is, we know the Damaris add the spice, much needed spice to the show.
Mm-hmm. And what are they going to do with Ian Buchanan when he comes on in the spring? I mean, he's a baddie guy. You know, if you've ever watched him on General Hospital, he played, Duke Lavery? You know, so he's not coming on there to be a bit player. And uh-huh. and you know, if you've got the Kiriakis, you've got the Damaris, now you're gonna have somebody else, another you know, baddie. And I think the other thing that James Scott said in that interview with Michael Fairman, is that, you know, he was talking a little bit more about, you know, the politics and the crooks, you know, that politicians are crooks or a lot of times in that kind of situation. It was kind of a natural transition. But he said something about, you know, that it, you know, really trying to get away a little bit from the crime family, you know, and how averse, you know, folks could be to that. So it concerned me because it doesn't sound like Lauren was really cleared to be able to say exactly what all she was going to be doing, whereas, you know, here she's got almost her entire family back on the program. I mean, almost all of her children, except for the Jim Bat twins, you know, are just about back on the show. So she should really be able to, I wrote something out today on Twitter, is that, you know, she's that character even before Lauren was on there. And again, I love Lauren. But even when Adair was on there, a couple, you know, back in the early 90s, that character has been on the show in a pivotal role for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And, it shouldn't be a guessing game. I mean, it's one thing if you've got somebody in recurring, and again, I like Judy Evans and think they should use her more, but it's one thing if you have somebody recurring and they're not quite sure how they're going to get used, or they can't speak about it, and then you've got somebody who's, you know, considered almost a legacy character. I think if you've been on there 20 years, that's a fairly long time, whether it's been the same actress or not, to really not quite be able to say what the plan is. These folks have got to have a Bible for this show. I mean, if they're doing truly character-driven writing, and they're, you know, they've really got a plan, then you know, she should be able to say something a little bit more. I just felt like she was really...
Well, that doesn't mean they don't have it. That means they haven't told her yet. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Not that
well,
I think it
also,
does.
And also, they have to
they
really have to be careful with what they say.
Yeah, I think they're trying to be... I think they were really careful. I mean... Most of Jammy fans I know had no idea what that promo was going to show. They were pretty down.
Did people,
it was a shock.
Did people freak out at Day of Days when they saw it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was pretty. And maybe I've got too much of the conspiracy theory thoughts in my mind, but to me, you know, I think Lauren had planned to be at Day of Days. She's been at every single one of them. I know Allison Sweeney, I think she had actually bid something out for MDA for that day. She did that last year, too. And then they also said that Ari wasn't going to be there. So, I, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, I just think out of those are three main female characters, and I can understand the Ari and Allie thing if you've got the both fan bases there, and you know it's just going to cause they're going to be asking questions that you don't want to answer. And that's the other thing about, well, even with Lauren, is, you know, if she's not there, then and was Joe Mescola there?
No.
He missed it
because
his house got flooded.
Okay.
Yeah,
none of them there, they couldn't have had questions. They wouldn't have had to field as many questions about the Damaras because there weren't really many there to ask.
Usually that's in the past. That's always, unless they're just getting tired of it, the actors. Getting tired of being able to say nothing.
I think Lauren came onto your show, did a fantastic 2-hour interview. Who does 2-hour interviews?
Oh my gosh.
Very few people.
I
know.
Two and a half hours. Like two
right.
hours broadcast and then another half hour. I mean, I was blown away.
And there's been a big push too to get her back out, you know, when she wasn't a part of Day of Days, and there was, you know, it concerns me, you know, Judy Evans, right before she started saying that she was concerned about, you know, how much they were going to be used, Judy went on, you know, a lot of programs, you know, trying to really kind of talk the show up and talk about Adrian, and again, it was a perfect opportunity too, because again, I would like to have seen her do more with Jack. I think that's a missing piece, but you know, mm-hmm. she did a lot of promos. You can almost kind of see the flood of the people that are all of a sudden doing interviews, because Lauren did interviews with Hugh. She did interviews, I think, with Nivelle Lee. She's done quite a few. Like I said, they had this whole thing set up this past week. So I hope everybody. I know that everybody on this line is very much a Lauren fan, but I think mm-hmm. that it helps to jump out there and say, you know, how important that character is and how important she is to the show. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's not that they don't think that. I don't know what they think, but
they definitely need fan support, definitely on Twitter and everything. It never hurts to share, you know, your opinion and share how much you enjoy the character and the actor and stuff like that. I'm speaking generally, you know, it really
right.
does make a difference. They really do pay attention. And they can tell the numbnuts that really don't know what they're talking about or are obsessed with one thing or whatever and don't have any common sense or whatever. But they do appreciate reasoned, good, solid feedback and, you know, positive stuff, you know, so I don't know.
Saying that there's a problem there. I think she has really reached out. You know, she's a great actress. She's been on the show for a long time. She's an important role. She's got multiple connections with everybody. It's not, you know, mm-hmm. whereas you get in the situation where you've got them. And again, I'm not trying to pick on Melanie and Daniel, but maybe I am. But if you look at the importance of those roles and how they're connected and what really, you just don't. I mean, there's just no comparison. If you've got to get a core 15 on there to make it profitable and to be able to make the story interesting enough that people are tuning in and they're selling ads in the right demographic, like I said, they need to really make some tougher decisions. I think about who they really need to have on there because. Like I said, I'm not saying that the Melanie should go or that Daniel should go, but I just don't think.
It's doing a little bit better job of writing a story. It's gonna, you know, you can have. I've seen the show when most of the people were ones I liked, and the stories were just so crappy it didn't matter.
I know. I loved Original Shell, and I mean, some of the last stories they did with them were horrendous. And,
okay, I have a question about like the current show that where I'm just like puzzled because I've missed some episodes. So, what is Chad in on the thing with this internet gambling thing? Is he part of it?
Of the internet gambling, or is he? Part
yeah,
of
I mean, like, why is
Will
he trying
Jenny's
to keep it from
website?
Abby? I missed something, but I was like, I wanted to ask you guys because I like, what am I missing here?
Well, he's
trying to keep it a secret, but I'm like, is he behind it or involved, or the Damaras involved in it somehow?
I think the new Ian McShannon character is going to have something to do with gambling.
Oh. Okay.
Or something. I think I don't know for sure. I'm not getting the sense that Chad is doing anything evil at all. I don't think it's Chad. I don't think it's Sonny. I don't think it's Will. I think they really don't know.
I think he's just trying to protect her.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I just thought maybe I missed something. I thought, well, maybe EJ's behind. They're making EJ behind everything these days. You know, might as well throw in a little gambling. You know, like he doesn't have enough to do. You know, what with all of his brainwashing and setting people up for white collar crime. You know.
Well, I wish the writer would decide who the heck John is. Is he a Jamira or a man? Because this whole stupidity of EJ framing him so that the Demeros will look better in the end. It's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Another random thought, too, is the whole Will story. I mean, I like that his grandma, you know, he has this nice relationship with his grandma and all, and that's a nice touch. I like that he feels, like, secure to talk with her. But where the hell is Kate? I mean, Kate didn't even get invited to his high school graduation. You know, I mean, it's like they're forgetting this whole other side of Will's life, and Kate was a huge part of that life for a long time.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I can see why they would be playing it where Will would talk to Marlena.
I mean that makes sense.
Kate is
and
married
I don't
to
have
Stefano
a problem
DeMera.
With that.
And as
I
long
don't
as
have a problem
as long
with
as,
that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
I think
Kate
they should say something. They're not saying anything, and I'm sick to death that we're back to the same old stupid James Riley crap of, let's just assume the fans know what the hell we're leaving out. And then of course, as soon as you leave it out, then you forget, and then you start doing stupid things that make no sense.
I was wondering if I was the only one thinking, now, what are they talking about? So not, you know, just in general, I've had a few moments like that where I'm like, did I miss a scene, or did they deliberately leave that out?
Well,
and the thing about John is it irritates me so much is they made it obvious the first week that they came back that, yes, he's Stefano's half-brother because they actually said it. He said it, or Stefano said it.
And they haven't played that at all.
But now the whole, you know, now it's the whole... It's just making no sense whatsoever. So.
Well, I think, you know, I think they're struggling. Clearly the ratings are not where they need to be. And, I mean, I don't, you know, it's fine. That you can say all day long that you've got a contract for the next 2 years. But, you know, frankly, you know,
He'll be on for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's
going to happen? He has a contract until September of 2013.
The thing of it is,
that's not 2 years.
Well, the thing of it is, NBC gets paid either way. What it's going to be is Ken going to get tired, even though it's his lifeblood and it's his past, you know, his parents created it and everything. It's going to, because he has to make a, you know, he pays whatever the difference is if they're, you know, if they don't make it in ad revenues. So they're guaranteed a certain return, so from what I understand. So basically, NBC can keep them on forever as long as they're making their money from, you know, Ken taking it out of his own pocket. So it's just a matter of how much longer is he going to be willing to do that before he says, screw it, I'm done, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. So just because they have...
Sell it.
You know,
somebody
so
has
got knows?
To care more about this show
but,
than he does.
Well, but then, you know, it's like, you know, I keep thinking they say they're making these changes. And I mean, I do find things that I like about it. I love Jack and Jen. I love their story, and I'm enjoying that. And I'm honestly even liking the Daniel angle, which I never thought I would, only because it does create angst, and it does create a way for Jack and Jen to find each other again, but not like slam bam, thank you, ma'am, and we're back together. You know, I like
right.
that there's
yeah,
a
but
challenge.
You don't think
because,
that you don't think his time away in Afghanistan could do that all on its own in a far
well,
more
sure,
interesting way.
Sure, but that kind of draws her in, where she's got this conflict with this other person. So, I mean, if anything, the Afghanistan thing is drawing her closer, which is great, but it's like. I'm glad they
I
do have some
problem
sort of.
Is, I just don't find the thing with Daniel believable in the least.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm not
no,
saying I like them together. I'm just saying I'm glad they have something that it's not just they're back together automatically because I like the fact that there's some
some angst there. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I like that there's,
well,
there's a little bit
of angst. There's so much they can do. I mean, yeah, the fact that you've got a couple like Jack and Jennifer that are beloved couples, and they've got so many aspects, you know, getting the spectator back on track. You know, they're starting to show more and more of the paper.
Right.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, really talking about and getting involved, you know,
in a
deeper level about, you know, what happened to him and why. And, you know, I mean, I think there's, I agree with the, with the fact that, Daniel, I'm not sure that Daniel, who's dating who from, you know, it sounds like somebody, I think, I don't know who said this. I heard somebody say, you know, it was like kind of like a 14-year-old, are we in the eighth grade kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to date both of you and then decide, you know. That, to me, that kind of trivializes, you've got this extremely serious situation.
Everything
in this
Daniel does sounds like, I'm sorry, every time Daniel opens his mouth, I feel like I'm listening to a middle schooler.
Well, I hope I didn't sound like I was endorsing him. I don't like the character.
No, I was just saying, if any couple does not need a third wheel to create their own drama, it's Jack and Jennifer.
No, Jack and Jennifer have their own internal drama, their own internal angst.
That's true.
And when having Matt and Missy, they can do it. They don't need the third wheel. There is plenty there that they could go back on. You know, his post-traumatic stress I mean, just them trying to rebuild their family and even the angst with Abby.
Sure.
But I agree what you're saying. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I'm not mad at you. Don't worry.
No. I mean, it's an easy win.
The
if there's a choice between Jack and Daniel, I mean, Jack and Daniel. Wow, Jack and that's funny. Anyway, I never thought about that.
Daniel,
it's like the whole
Lexi
and Abe stupidity. Every time she has an affair, wait a minute, this is a Demara. You don't need to have an affair to
drink. Oh, I know. But, hey, you know, there was a scene a couple weeks ago where it was so lame. I mean, it wasn't Jack's fault, but it was so funny when he sits down and Rafe's like, yeah, you know, man, I had some post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, kind of. I mean, I liked that the guys were talking about it. I think that was a cool thing that they brought that up. And he's like, you do need to talk to someone. It really helps. But I just wish it had been, instead of him, that his horrible experience in South America is what caused Rafe's trauma, it's just living with Sammy for a couple of years. I mean, that would be enough to do it to anyone, you know. So,
Well, see, and that brings up my number one reason why I like what's going to happen. You know, I keep seeing all these comments where, oh, God, how can they have her having sex with EJ at this point after all of the awful things he's done?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute.
It's hot. Sammy Brady. This is Sammy Brady. What kind of relationship is Sammy Brady ever going to be happy in? Not a normal one, because she's so screwed up. The only kind of relationship Sammy Brady's ever going to be happy in is a really screwed up relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to bring in the whole Will story now as the basis of that, and use that as a parallel from what happened to Sammy
and
Marlena
and John.
But not nearly as amusing as watching Rafe find out that his wife slept with the guy that made a double of him.
Are we going to need to get a screenshot of his face for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Although I don't think it's going to be nearly as entertaining as I'd like, because it's Galen. Not just going to,
What do y'all think? And no one's mentioned the whole Alice secret. I mean, there's...
I like that because I think it's awful.
I like it that they pulled Alice into things. I like that.
Pulled Alice into things. So far, what I've seen of it sucks so bad. It's making her look. Somebody on a website said if somebody suggested that maybe Alice's secret was that she'd slept with Stefano.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they came up with this. But then somebody else said if they did that, that would be the worst thing they could ever do to any legacy character in the history of soap operas.
No,
they'd never
do
that.
There's been several people, and I didn't, when they first started it, I didn't really see much harm or foul to it, but it's, and I was talking with somebody else on Twitter that really was really concerned about, you know, how this kind of impacted Allison. And I listened to another talk show podcast not too long ago, and they were spent a lot of time talking about this, and they said, you know, if Frances Reed was alive, or, you know, she'd be having a cow. This would never have occurred. This just would not have occurred. She would not have kept the secret like this all these years with Stephanie.
Well, she would have said something about it. They still killed Alice with a donut, even if she objected.
Yeah.
They still did it anyway. So I can see them doing this over her objections, but I'd see her objecting. I definitely see her objecting.
I just think this egg story is so stupid,
Did people even know sperm and egg like had to go together to make a baby in the 60s? I'm sorry, this is crazy.
I could see
that Daniel is a test tube baby only if the tube was a tanning bed. I mean, I just don't see
why. sadly it is, because I think I may be a little bit older than most of y'all, but I think I am about 6 months younger than the actor that plays Daniel. And
yeah,
I was born in the mid-60s.
I'm in that range, too.
And so, you know, this, you know, Maggie didn't even come on the show until 1973.
Somebody posted his birthday. He was born in 1965.
Yeah. I guess he's about 6 months older than I am in real life. But anyway, it doesn't, you know, I know all of that, you know, just like, you know, EJ would be 12 right now if we were going by,
we're used to them being, I mean, like real people, but, I mean, not real people, but like we're used to them, you know, sore-assing the kids, but de-sore-assing, you know, frozen embryos and eggs. I don't know.
The other part I have a problem with is if they're going to change EJ's paternity and make him Maggie's,
mm-hmm.
and that Alice knew. Oh, that will.
I know. It better not be EJ.
I mean, I see why they're doing it, because you can't get Eileen Davidson back, and that's okay with me anyway. But and they want him to have a mother on the show, but please.
Well, I guess the egg thing, you know, personally, you know, 10 years ago, I had looked into this whole thing about frozen eggs being fragile, and I think somebody else had talked about that on this show, and it's true. At least 10 years ago, they were way too fragile. You cannot have unfertilized eggs and freeze them, and I don't know.
Yeah.
So I know if you couldn't have done that 10 years ago, you know, well, you surely couldn't do it in the mid-70s.
The mechanics of it, I'm not going to complain about, because hell, nothing they've done on this show when it comes to medical,
I mean, let's think. 6 months ago, Jennifer was breathing without a heart. 6 months ago.
I know. Ridiculous. So that was Dina Higley. Like I said, to me, it's kind of like anything under the Dina Higley time period. I just, you know,
irritates me more, because these people swore up and down they weren't going to do this shit. It just irritates the heck out of me.
I think it frustrates me in that they're saying they're going to unsoap the soap and they're going to do more reality based things, and then this is something that is is fairly current. People are talking about IVF and this type of thing, and maybe there was some, but it's a very nebulous story. I went back and looked on YouTube, and again, you can't really go by time periods, but Maggie left after. Something had happened where she and Mickey had come back, or when I guess after they discovered that he was Mickey, and she went to New York, and so she was in New York for a while, and then she came back to Salem, and you know, and kind of resumed with Mickey and stuff. And I could see at that point, if I couldn't remember now if she would have known or not known that he was fertile or infertile.
No, that was in the eighties. Well, unless it happened in the '70s too. But she went to New York for a little while after she broke up with Don Craig, and before she got back with Mickey. But that was in the '80s. That wasn't in the '70s, and they already knew that Mickey was infertile, so she wouldn't have done it then. It would have had to been before she found out he was infertile. That was in the '70s.
And then how would people have known if you had? I mean, they wouldn't have known, you know, because obviously, supposedly, she just forgot about all this stuff they found out that Mickey was
conveniently
ill. But who would have known then at this Riverside Clinic or wherever that? Yeah, okay, we're going to have to refertilize these eggs. Can you even do that? I mean, I don't know if you can even refertilize them,
I don't think they're even going to bother finding it.
But, I mean, to me, the whole story, maybe I just have gotten to this, but to me, the whole egg story is just annoying. I mean, I could say to me, it's almost on the same level as the.
It's annoying right now. If I find out it's just something really bad, it'll be way more than annoying. I'll be really ticked off.
To me, it's along the same lines of running around. Saying that's what was on the brain of John Black.
Yeah, I keep hearing that it's okay because Peter Reckle and Kristen Alfonso are saying that they really like it, but then they really like the SSK story too. So. I'm a little leery of any actor or actress saying anything at this point about liking the writing because I've just been burned too many times.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to come out and say that they don't like it anyway.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Just like that line that Ari Zucker, Nicole said the other day about, if you complain, she was talking about her writing, like he was criticizing her speech writing. And she said something, I can't remember the quote now, but it was something about if you complain about the writing, you get, I don't remember what it was, but it was like, it gets painful. It's not good. And I was just thinking, I wonder if that line was sort of like meant to be a warning of some sort to some of the people. I don't know. Who knows?
What, nobody on the day set and it realizes what happens to you if you have the gall to say?
Yeah, right.
After the last,
I can assure you, James Scott knows. I'm sure James Scott knows.
Not as well as Matthew Afford knows.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tao.
Mm-hmm. Or John Aniston.
Or John Aniston.
Yeah.
So. Wow, that was a quick hour and a half.
But yeah, we're almost done. Stupid. Was this week when Marlena hypnotized John? He claimed, she asked what happened on this date, which was their last wedding date, and he said, "Oh yeah, I killed somebody and had a croissant or something like that or something." I don't know.
Well, I was kind of hoping he'd say, I was doing Kate. Damn it, darn it.
That was really fun. She didn't ask him about when they were in Ireland, and he kind of said, "I bashed your head into the door."
Oh yeah.
And then there was that YouTube thing over and over and over.
I did not condone
domestic violence in any way, shape, or form. But that was
funny.
I
don't
have to bring that up, Madeline.
I don't condone real life violence, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is so fun, bro.
Oh my gosh. That was funny.
Only a little bit of Robo John I'll ever get to see again anyway. So.
Oh, I loved Robo John. I miss him.
I know.
Oh.
Me too. He wasn't such a hypocrite.
I don't know what to think right now of the show. But oh well.
Well, I will have to admit that when Sammy hugged John as the
at the pub on Friday. It kind of got me going, aww.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's going to be spitting nails at him on Monday's episode. She's okay with
yeah.
me.
Yeah, spoiler, she turns on John and Marlena.
Oh, John and Brady hugging this week. Oh, my God, I teared up. Did you guys see that one?
That.
I didn't
those
get to
great
see that
scenes.
One.
I know it's about to
that
shut us
good.
Off, but those were great scenes. I have to
yeah,
admit.
Yeah, it was.
I said something on Twitter about how finally, you know, we get to see, you know, John, the great casting between those two to
right.
come to life, you know, to come to fruition finally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they so didn't play on it before, so I'm glad that they finally had some of that.
Well,
I think this really shows the talent of Eric Martzoff because, again, he only had about a month on the show at the same time with Drake when they brought him on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just think, you know, Eric is a, you know, I think he's a great actor, too, and I think he does deserve more of a storyline, so I'm pleased that they are trying to give more to him. Because he really did. I mean, he clearly had done some did some studying of just Drake's mannerisms, approach, and everything else. Because again, you know, he's completely believable as Brady,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and they really were never on the screen together very much together at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, it's time to end the show.
Oh,
I know.
Okay.
Until next week, and we'll be having a lot of talk about, you know, after next week with the shooting and all that, Johnny Bean and this thing, and
that whole thing with Danny,
and Sammy getting Nicole's sloppy seconds with each.
Oh, good fighting words.
Okay. Anyway, so thanks everybody for coming to the chat room, and thanks for everybody for calling too.
Yeah.
You know, yay!
So
I guess Marianne's probably still stuck in her meeting.
Yeah.
Poor girl. Okay. Next week,
right.
Then, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.